Chapter 12, The Concept of Multiplier, page 101. Introduction. The concept of multiplier was first developed by R. F. Kahn in his article, The Relation of Home Investment to Unemployment, in the Economic Journal of June 1931. Kahn's multiplier was the employment multiplier. Keynes took the idea from Kahn and formulated the investment multiplier. The investment multiplier. Keynes considers his theory of multiplier as an integral part of his theory of employment. The multiplier, according to Keynes, establishes a precise relationship given the propensity to consume between aggregate employment and income and the rate of investment. It tells us that when there is an increment of investment, income will increase by an amount which is k times the increment of investment. That is, delta y is equal to k into delta I. In the words of Hansen, Keynes' investment multiplier is the coefficient relating to an increment of investment to an increment of income. That is, k is equal to delta y upon delta I, where y is income, I is investment, and delta is change, that is increment or decrement, and k is the multiplier. In the multiplier theory, the important element is the multiplier coefficient k, which refers to the power by which an initial investment expenditure is multiplied to obtain a final increase in income. The value of the multiplier is determined by the marginal propensity to consume. The higher the marginal propensity to consume, the higher is the value of the multiplier and vice versa. The relationship between the multiplier and the marginal propensity to consume is as follows. Delta y is equal to delta c plus delta I, or delta y is equal to small c into delta y plus delta I, because delta c is equal to small c into delta y. Therefore, we have delta y minus small c into delta y is equal to delta I, or delta y within bracket 1 minus small c end of bracket is equal to delta I. Therefore, delta y is equal to delta I upon 1 minus c, or delta y upon delta I is equal to 1 upon 1 minus c. So, k is equal to 1 upon 1 minus small c, since k is equal to delta y upon delta I. Now, since small c is the marginal propensity to consume, the multiplier k is by definition equal to 1 minus 1 upon c. The multiplier can also be derived from the marginal propensity to save, MPS, and it is the reciprocal of MPS, where k is equal to 1 upon MPS. The table shows that the size of a multiplier varies directly with the MPC and inversely with the MPS. Since MPC is always greater than 0 and less than 1, that is 0, less than MPC, less than 1, the multiplier is always between 1 and infinity, that is 1 less than k less than infinity. If the multiplier is 1, it means that the whole increment of income is saved and nothing is spent because the MPC is equal to 0. On the other hand, an infinite multiplier implies that MPC is equal to 1 and the entire increment of income is spent on consumption. It will soon lead to full employment in the economy and then create a limitless inflationary spiral. But these are rare phenomena. Therefore, the multiplier coefficient varies between 1 and infinity. Page 102. So we have table 1, derivation of the multiplier. There are three columns. The first column is delta c upon delta y, which is MPC. Second column is delta s upon delta y, which is MPS, which is equal to 1 minus MPC. Column 3 is k, the multiplier coefficient. So the entries in the table are as follows. MPC 0, MPS 1, k 1, MPC half, MPS half, k is equal to 2, MPC 2 by 3, MPS 1 by 3, k is equal to 3. MPC 3 by 4, MPS 1 by 4, k equal to 4. MPC 4 upon 5, MPS 1 upon 5, multiplier is 5. MPC 8 upon 9, MPS 1 upon 9, k is equal to 9. MPC 9 upon 10, MPS 1 upon 10, k is equal to 10. MPC 1, MPS 0, and k is infinity. Returning back to the text. Working of the multiplier. The multiplier works both forward and backward. First, we study its forward working. The multiplier theory explains the cumulative effect of a change in investment on income via its effect on consumption expenditure. Forward operation. We first take the sequence analysis, which shows a motion picture of the process of income propagation. An increase in investment leads to increased production, which creates income and generates consumption expenditure. This process continues in dwindling series till no further increase in income and expenditure is possible. This is a lagless, instantaneous process in a static framework, as explained by Keynes. Suppose that in an economy, MPC is equal to half and investment is raised by rupees 100 crores. This will immediately lead to a rise in production and income by rupees 100 crores. One half of this new income will be immediately spent on consumption goods, which will lead to increase in production and income by the same amount, and so on. The process is set out in Table 2. It reveals that an increment of rupees 100 crores of investment in the primary round leads to the same increase in income. Of this, rupees 50 crores are saved and rupees 50 crores are spent on consumption, which go to increase income by the same amount in the second round. This dwindling process of income generation continues in the secondary rounds, till the total income generated from rupees 100 crores of investment rises to rupees 200 crores. This is also clear from the multiplier formula. Delta y is equal to k times delta I, or 200 is equal to 2 multiplied by 100 when k is equal to 2, since MPC is equal to half and delta I is equal to rupees 100 crores. So now let's see the Table 2, sequence multiplier. There are 5 columns. First is round, second is increment in investment delta I, then next column is increment in income delta Y, the next column is increment in consumption delta capital C, which is equal to small c into delta Y, which is equal to 0.5, and increment in saving delta S is equal to delta Y minus delta S. So the entries in this table are as follows. So for round 0, there are no entries. Round 1, delta I is 100, delta Y is 100, delta C is 50, delta S is 50. Round 2, delta I dash, delta Y is 50, which comes from the previous round delta C. That leads to a delta C of 25. And delta S of 25. In round 3, the delta C of round 2, which is 25, becomes delta Y of round 3, which leads to 12.50 of delta C, and delta S is also 12.50. In round 4, the previous rounds delta C, which is 12.50, becomes delta Y in this round. This leads to 6.25 delta C, and delta S is equal to 6.25. In round 5, delta C of round 4, which is 6.25, becomes delta Y in this round. So delta Y is 6.25, which then becomes 3.12 delta C. Delta S is also 3.12. and again it leads to round 0. So 3.12, which is delta C of round 5, becomes 0 of delta, that is delta Y. Then delta Y leads to again 0, which is delta C, and delta S is 0. So finally, increment in investment is 100, increment in income delta Y is 200, increment in consumption delta C is 100, and increment in saving delta S is also 100. So this was table 2. This process of income propagation as a result of increase in investment is shown diagrammatically in figure 1. So figure 1 and figure 2 I will read on the next page along with the explanation, which actually is on page 102 in the book. Page 103. Figure 1, we have income on the x-axis and consumption and investment on the y-axis. So we have three curves. One is the curve C has a slope of 0.5. The next one is C plus I, which is parallel to C. And the third is C plus I plus delta I. All three are actually parallel to each other. Then we have the 45 degrees line. This line intersects with C plus I at E1 and C plus I plus delta I at E2. Corresponding to E1 is point Y1 on the x-axis, and corresponding to E2 is point Y2 on the x-axis. And difference between Y1 and Y2 is delta Y, and the difference between C plus I and C plus I plus delta I is delta I. So returning to the text, the curve C has a slope of 0.5 to show the MPC equal to 1/2. C plus I is the investment curve which intersects the 45 degrees line at E1, so that the old equilibrium level of income is OY1. Now there is an increase in investment of delta I as shown by the distance between C plus I and C plus I plus delta I curves. This curve intersects the 45 degrees line at E2 to give OY2 as the new income. Thus, the rise in income Y1, Y2 as shown by delta Y is twice the distance between C plus I and C plus I plus delta I, since MPC is equal to 1/2. The same results can be obtained if MPS is taken, so that when income increases, savings also increase to equal the new investment at a new equilibrium level of income. This is shown in figure 2. So again in figure 2, we have income on the x-axis, investment and saving on the y-axis. Here we have the saving function S, which is at a slope of 0.5. Then we have investment curve I, which is parallel to the x-axis. Second investment curve is I plus delta I, which is again parallel to the x-axis. So the point where S intersects I is E1, and the point where S intersects I plus delta I is E2. Corresponding to E is Y1 on the income axis. Corresponding to E2 is Y2 on the income axis. Difference between Y1 and Y2 is delta Y. And difference between I and I plus delta I is equal to delta I. Here MPS is equal to 0.5. So returning to the text. So in the figure, S is the saving function with a slope of 0.5 to show MPS of 1/2. I is the old investment curve which cuts S at E1, so that OY is the old equilibrium level of income. The increase in investment delta I is superimposed on the delta I curve in the shape of a new investment curve I plus delta I, which is intersected by the S curve at E2 to give OY2 as the new equilibrium level of income. The rise in the income Y1 minus Y2 as shown as delta Y is exactly double the increase in investment delta I, as MPS is 1/2. Page 104. Backward operation. The above analysis pertains to the forward operation of the multiplier. If, however, investment decreases instead of increasing, the multiplier operates backwards. A reduction in investment will lead to contraction of income and consumption, which in turn will lead to cumulative decline in income and consumption, till the contraction in aggregate income is the multiple of the initial decrease in investment. Suppose the investment decreases by rupees 100 crores. With an MPC equal to 0.5 and capital K equal to 2, consumption expenditure would keep on declining till aggregate income is decreased by rupees 200 crores. In terms of multiplier formula, minus delta Y is equal to K into minus delta I. We get minus 200 is equal to 2 into minus 100. The magnitude of contraction due to the forward operation of the multiplier depends on the value of MPC. The higher the MPC, the greater is the value of multiplier, and the greater the cumulative decline in income, and vice versa. On the contrary, the higher the MPS, the lower is the value of the multiplier, and the smaller the cumulative decline in income, and vice versa. Thus, a community with a high propensity to consume or low propensity to save will be hurt more by the reverse operation of the multiplier than one with a low propensity to consume or high propensity to save. Diagrammatically, the reverse operation also can be explained in terms of figure 1 and 2. Taking figure 1, when investment decreases, the investment function C plus I plus delta I shifts downward to C plus I. As a result, the equilibrium level also shifts from E2 to E1 and income declines from OY2 to OY1. The MPC being 0.5, the fall in income Y2, Y1 is exactly double the decline in investment as shown by the distance between C plus I plus delta I and C plus I. Similarly, in figure 2, when investment falls, the investment function I plus delta I shifts downwards as I curve and income decreases from OY2 to OY1. The MPS being 0.5, the decrease in income Y2, Y1 is double the decline in investment as measured by the distance between I plus delta I and I curves. Assumptions of multiplier. Keynes' theory of the multiplier works under certain assumptions which limit the operation of the multiplier. They are as follows. 1. There is a change in autonomous investment and that induced investment is absent. 2. The marginal propensity to consume is constant. 3. Consumption is a function of current income. 4. There are no time lags in the multiplier process. An increase or decrease in investment instantaneously leads to a multiple increase or decrease in income. 5. The new level of investment is maintained steadily for the completion of the multiplier process. 6. There is net increase in investment. 7. Consumer goods are available in response to effective demand for them. 8. There is surplus capacity in consumer goods industries to meet the increased demand for consumer goods in response to a rise in income following increased investment. 9. Other resources of production are also easily available within the economy. 10. There is an industrialized economy in which the multiplier process operates. 11. There is a closed economy unaffected by foreign influences. 12. There are no changes in prices. 13. The accelerator effect of consumption on investment is ignored. 14. There is less than full employment level in the economy. Leakages of multiplier. Leakages are the potential diversions from the income stream which tend to weaken the multiplier effect of new investment. Given the marginal propensity to consume, the increase in income in each round declines due to leakages in the income stream, and ultimately the process of income propagation peters out. See Table 2. The following are important leakages. 1. Saving. Saving is the most important leakage in the multiplier process. Since the marginal propensity to consume is less than 1, the whole increment in income is not spent on consumption. A part of it is saved, which peters out of the income stream, and the increase in income in the next round declines. Thus, The higher the marginal propensity to save, the smaller the size of the multiplier, and the greater the amount of leakage out of the income stream, and vice versa. For instance, if MPS is equal to 1 by 6, the multiplier is 6. According to the formula, K is equal to 1 upon MPS, and the MPS of 1.3 gives a multiplier of 3. 2. Strong liquidity preference. If people prefer to hold the increased income in the form of idle cash balances to satisfy a strong liquidity preference for the transaction, precautionary and speculative motives that will act as a leakage out of the income system. As income increases, people will hoard money in inactive bank deposits and the multiplier process is checked. Page 105. 3. Purchase of old stocks and securities. If a part of the increased income is used in buying old stocks and securities instead of consumer goods, the consumption expenditure will fall and its cumulative effect on income will be less than before. In other words, size of the multiplier will fall with a fall in consumption expenditure when people buy old stocks and shares. 4. Debt cancellation. If a part of the increased income is used to repay debts to banks instead of spending it for further consumption, that part of the income peters out of the income stream. In case this part of the increased income is repaid to other creditors who save or hoard it, the multiplier process will be arrested. 5. Price inflation. When increased investment leads to price inflation, the multiplier effect of increased income may be dissipated on higher prices. A rise in the prices of consumption goods implies increased expenditure on them. As a result, increased income is absorbed by higher prices and the real consumption and income fall. Thus, price inflation is an important leakage which tends to dissipate increase in income and consumption on higher prices rather than in increasing output and employment. 6. Net profits. If increased income is spent on the purchase of imported goods, it acts as a leakage out of the domestic income system. Such an expenditure fails to affect the consumption of domestic goods. This argument can be extended to net imports when there is an excess of imports over exports, thereby causing a net outflow of funds to other countries. 7. Undistributed profits. If profits accruing to joint stock companies are not distributed to the shareholders in the form of dividend but are kept in the reserve fund, it is a leakage from the income stream. Undistributed profits with the companies tend to reduce the income and hence further expenditure on consumption goods, thereby weakening the multiplier process. 8. Taxation. Taxation policy is also an important factor in weakening the multiplier process. Progressive taxes have the effect of lowering the disposable income of the taxpayers and reducing their consumption expenditure. Similarly, commodity taxation tends to raise the prices of goods and a part of increased income may be dissipated on higher prices. Thus, increased taxation reduces the income stream and lowers the size of the multiplier. 9. Excess stocks of consumption goods. If the increased demand for consumption goods is met from the existing excess stocks of consumption goods, there will be no further increase in output, employment and income, and the multiplier process will come to a halt till the old stocks are exhausted. 10. Public investment programs. If the increase in income as a result of increased investment is affected by public expenditures, it may fail to induce private enterprise to spend that income for further investment due to the following reasons. A. Public investment programs may raise the demand for labor and materials, leading to a rise in the cost of construction, so as to make the undertaking of some private projects unprofitable. B. Government borrowing may, if not accompanied by a sufficiently liberal credit policy on the part of the monetary authority, increase the rate of interest and thus discourage private investment. And C. Government operations may also injure private investors' confidence by arousing animosity or fears of nationalization. Criticism of multiplier. The multiplier theory has been severely criticized by the post-Keynesian economists on the following grounds. 1. Merely tautological concept. Professor Heberler has criticized Keynes's multiplier as tautological. It is a truism which defines the multiplier as necessarily true as k is equal to 1 divided by 1 minus delta c upon delta y. As pointed by Professor Hansen, such a coefficient is a mere arithmetic multiplier, that is, a truism and not a true behavior multiplier based on a behavior pattern which establishes a verifiable relation between consumption and income. A mere arithmetic multiplier, 1 divided by 1 minus delta c upon delta y, is tautological. 2. Timeless analysis. Keynes's logical theory of the multiplier is an instantaneous process without time lag. It is a timeless static equilibrium analysis in which the total effect of a change in investment on income is instantaneous, so that consumption goods are produced simultaneously and consumption expenditure is also incurred instantaneously. But this is not borne out by facts, because a time lag is always involved between the receipt of income and its expenditure on consumption goods, and also in producing consumption goods. Thus, the timeless multiplier analysis disregards the transition and deals only with the new equilibrium income level and is therefore unrealistic. Page 106. 3. Worthless theoretical toy. According to Hazlitt, the Keynesian multiplier is a strange concept about which some Keynesians make more fuss than about anything else in the Keynesian system. It is a myth, for there can never be any precise, predeterminable or mechanical relationship between investment and income. Thus, he regards it as a worthless theoretical toy. 4. Acceleration effect ignored. One of the weaknesses of the multiplier theory is that it studies the effects of investment on income through changes in consumption expenditure, but it ignores the effect of consumption on investment, which is known as the acceleration principle. Hicks, Samuelson and others have shown that it is the interaction of the multiplier and the accelerator which helps in controlling business fluctuations. 5. MPC does not remain constant. Gordon points out that the greatest weakness of the multiplier concept is its exclusive emphasis on consumption. He favors the use of the term marginal propensity to spend in place of marginal propensity to consume to make this concept more realistic. He also objects to the constancy of the marginal propensity to spend or consume, because in a dynamic economy it is not likely to remain constant. If it is assumed to be constant, it is not possible to predict with much accuracy the multiplying effects over the cycle of a given increase in private investment or public spending. 6. Relation between consumption and income. Keynes's multiplier theory establishes a linear relation between consumption and income with the hypothesis that the MPC is less than 1 and greater than 0. Empirical studies of the behavior of consumption in relation to income show that the relationship between the two is complicated and non-linear. As pointed out by Gardner Ackley, the relationship does not run simply from current income to current consumption, but rather involves some complex average of past and expected income and consumption. There are other factors than income to consider. Other economists have not been lagging behind in their criticism of the multiplier concept. Professor Hart considers it a useless fifth wheel. To Stigler, it is the fuzziest part of the Keynes theory. Professor Hart calls it a rubbish apparatus which should be expunged from textbooks. But despite its scathing criticism, the multiplier principle has considerable practical applicability to economic problems, as given below. Importance of multiplier. The concept of multiplier is one of the important contributions of Keynes to the income and employment theory. As aptly observed by Richard Goodwin, Lord Keynes did not discover the multiplier. That honor goes to Mr. R. F. Kahn. But he gave it the role it plays today by transforming it from an instrument for the analysis of road building into one for the analysis of income building. It set a fresh wind blowing through the structure of economic thought. Its importance lies in the following. 1. Investment. The multiplier theory highlights the importance of investment in income and employment theory. Since the consumption function is stable during the short run, fluctuations in income and employment are due to fluctuations in the rate of investment. A fall in investment leads to a cumulative decline in income and employment by the multiplier process and vice versa. Thus, it underlines the importance of investment and explains the process of income propagation. 2. Trade cycle. As a corollary to the above, when there are fluctuations in the level of income and employment due to variations in the rate of investment, the multiplier process throws a spotlight on the different phases of the trade cycle. When there is a fall in investment, income and employment decline in a cumulative manner, leading to recession and ultimately to depression. On the contrary, an increase in investment leads to revival, and if this process continues, to a boom. Thus, the multiplier is regarded as an indispensable tool in trade cycles. 3. Saving investment equality. It also helps in bringing the equality between saving and investment. If there is a divergence between saving and investment, an increase in investment leads to a rise in income via the multiplier process by more than the increase in initial investment. As a result of the increase in income, saving also increases and equals investment. 4. Formulation of economic policies. The multiplier is an important tool in the hands of modern states in formulating economic policies. Thus, this principle presupposes state intervention in economic affairs. A. To achieve full employment. The state decides upon the amount of investment to be injected into the economy to remove unemployment and achieve full employment. An initial increase in investment leads to the rise in income and employment by the multiplier time, the increase in investment. If a single dose of investment is insufficient to bring full employment, the state can inject regular doses of investment for this purpose till the full employment level is reached. Page 107. B. To control trade cycles. The state can control booms and depressions in a trade cycle on the basis of the multiplier effect on income and employment. When the economy is experiencing inflationary pressures, the state can control them by a reduction in investment, which leads to a cumulative decline in income and employment via the multiplier process. On the other hand, in a deflationary situation, an increase in investment can help increase the level of income and employment through the multiplier process. C. Deficit financing. The multiplier principle highlights the importance of deficit budgeting. In a state of depression, cheap money policy of lowering the rate of interest is not helpful because the marginal efficiency of capital is so low that a low rate of interest fails to encourage private investment. In such a situation, increased public expenditure through public investment programs by creating a budget deficit helps in increasing income and employment by multiplier time the increase in investment. D. Public investment. The above discussion reveals the importance of the multiplier in public investment policy. Public investment refers to the state expenditure on public works and other works meant to increase public welfare. It is autonomous and is free from profit motive. It therefore applies with greater force in overcoming inflationary and deflationary pressures in the economy and in achieving and maintaining full employment. Private investment, being induced by profit motive, can help only when the public investment has created a favorable situation for the former. Moreover, economic activity cannot be left to the vagaries and uncertainties of private enterprise. Hence, the importance of multiplier in public investment lies in creating or controlling income and employment. The state can have the greatest multiplier effect on income and employment by increasing public investment during a depression where the MPC is high or the MPS is low. On the contrary, in periods of over full employment, a decline in investment will have a serious effect on the levels of income and employment, where the MPS is high or MPC is low. The best policy is to reduce investment where the MPC is low or MPS is high, to have gradual decline in income and employment. The important thing, however, is the timing of public investment in such a manner that the multiplier is able to work with full force and there is little scope for the income stream to peter out. Moreover, public investment should not supplant but supplement private investment so that it could be increased during depression and reduced during inflation. As a result, the forward and backward operation of the multiplier will help in the two situations. The dynamic or period multiplier. Keynes's logical theory of the multiplier is an instantaneous process without time lags. It is a timeless static equilibrium analysis in which the total effect of a change in investment on income is instantaneous, so that consumption goods are produced simultaneously and consumption expenditure is also incurred instantaneously. But this is not borne out by facts, because a time lag is always involved between the receipt of income and its expenditure on consumption goods, and also in producing consumption goods. Thus, the timeless multiplier analysis disregards the transition and deals only with new equilibrium income level and is therefore unrealistic. The dynamic multiplier relates to the time lags in the process of income generation. The series of adjustments in income and consumption may take months or even years for the multiplier process to complete, depending upon the assumption made about the period involved. This is explained in Table 3, where if each round is of 1 month and it takes 17 rounds for an initial investment of rupees 100 crores to generate an income of rupees 200 crores, given the value of MPC to be 0.5, then the multiplier process will take 17 months to complete. So we have Table 3 on page 108, which is the dynamic or period multiplier, or rupees are in crores. There are four columns. First column, period in months. Second column, delta I, increment in investment. Third column, delta capital C, which is equal to small c, delta Y, which is 0.5, increment in consumption. And the last column is delta Y, increment in income. Entries in the table are period in months 0, delta I 0, delta C 0, delta Y 0. Then for small t plus 1, delta I is 100, delta C is 0, delta Y is 100. T plus 2, delta I 100, delta C 50, delta Y is 100 plus 50. For t plus 3, delta I 100, delta C 25, delta Y 150 plus 25. So like that, if we go on, T plus N, delta I is 100, delta C is 100, and delta Y is 200. Returning to the text. The table shows that if the MPC remains constant at 0.5 throughout, an initial increase of rupees 100 crores of investment will first raise income by 100 crores in the first month. Out of this, rupees 50 crores will be spent on consumption. This will raise income in the second month to rupees 50 crores, and out of this, rupees 25 crores will be spent on consumption. This will go to increase income in the third month by rupees 25 crores, and successive increments in income get smaller and smaller in each period till in the 17th month the income increases by rupees 0.001 crore. Page 108. This can also be explained algebraically as delta Y is equal to delta I plus delta I small c plus delta I small c square plus delta I small c cube plus, it goes on up to delta I small c raised to n minus 1. So delta Y is equal to 100 plus 100 into 0.5 plus 100 into 0.5 square plus 100 into 0.5 cube plus, it goes on up to 100 into 0.5 raised to n minus 1. So delta Y is equal to 1 minus 0.5 square upon 1 minus 0.5 the whole into 100, which is equal to 1 upon 1 minus 0.5 the whole into 100, which is equal to rupees 200 crores. This process of dynamic income propagation assumes that there is a consumption lag and no investment lag, so that consumption is a function of the income of the preceding period. That is, CT is a function of YT minus 1, and investment is a function of time T and of constant autonomous investment, delta I. That is, IT is a function of delta I. We have a figure 3 which is slightly complicated, so you will have to refer to the digitized version. So in this figure, C plus I is the aggregate demand function and the 45 degrees line is the aggregate supply function. If we begin in period T0 with an equilibrium level of OY0 income, investment is increased by delta I. Then in period T, income rises by the amount of the increased investment from T0 to T. The increased investment is shown by the new aggregate demand function C plus I plus delta I. But in period T0, consumption lags behind and is still equal to the original income E0. But at Y0 level, total demand rises from Y0 T0 to Y0 T. There is now an excess of demand over supply equal to T0 T. In period T, consumption rises due to the rise in demand to Y0 T. Now investment increases income still higher to OY1 in period T plus 1 and to increase in consumption from T to E1. But at this level, total demand is Y1 E1, which exceeds total supply by AE1. This will further tend to raise income to OY2 in period T plus 2 and to increase in consumption to E1 E2. This leads to a rise in demand to Y2 E2, leading to an excess of total demand over total supply by BE2. This process of income generation will continue till the aggregate demand function C plus I plus delta I equals the aggregate supply function 45 degrees line at EN in the nth period, and the new equilibrium level of income is determined at OYN. The curved steps E0 to EN is the path of income propagation, showing the dynamic process of multiplier. The lower portion of the figure shows the time dimension of the multiplier process. The employment multiplier. The concept of employment multiplier was introduced by R.F. Kahn in 1931 as a ratio between the total increase in employment and primary employment. That is, K1 is equal to delta N upon delta N1, where K1, which is 1 is a superscript, stands for the employment multiplier, delta N for the increase in total employment, and delta N1 for the increase in primary employment. Thus, the employment multiplier is a coefficient relating an increment of primary employment on public works to the resulting increment of total employment, primary and secondary combined. To illustrate it, suppose 2 lakh additional men are employed in public works so that the secondary employment is increased by 4 lakhs. The total employment is increased by 6 lakhs, that is equal to 2 lakh primary and 4 lakh secondary. The employment multiplier would be 6 lakhs divided by 2 lakhs, which is equal to 3. Page 109. Algebraically, the Keynesian multiplier delta y is equal to k delta I is analogous to Kahn's multiplier delta n equal to k1 delta n1. But Keynes points out that there is no reason in general to suppose that k is equal to k1, because income in terms of wage units may rise more than employment if in the process non-wage earners' income should rise proportionately more than wage earners' income. Moreover, with decreasing returns, total product would rise proportionately less than employment. In short, income in terms of wage units would rise most, employment next, and output the least. Still, According to Hansen, in the short run, all three would tend to rise and fall together as envisaged by the Keynesian income and employment theory. He concludes that thus, for practical purposes, we do no great violence to the facts if we assume that the employer multiplier K1 equals the investment multiplier K. If, however, output increases towards the full employment output, per unit of labor will fall due to decreasing returns. In such a situation, K1 is larger than K when the multiplier is working to increase output and employment, but K1 is smaller than K if the multiplier is working in the opposite direction. Dillard points out the employment multiplier is useful for showing the relation between primary and secondary employment from public works. But Keynes's conception is superior to Kahn's because, in the words of Godwin, he gave it the role it plays today by transforming it from an instrument for the analysis of road building into one for the analysis of income building. Selected readings. F. S. Brueman, Macroeconomics, 4th edition, 1970, Chapter 6. J. H. McQuinn, Macroeconomics, 1975, Chapter 5. Edward Shapiro, Macroeconomic Analysis, 4th edition, 1978, Chapter 5. P. Vonnegut, Macroeconomics, 1974, Chapter 3. A. H. Hansen, A Guide to Keynes, 1953, Chapter 4. Exercises. Question 1. What is the significance of the statement that the value of the multiplier is the reciprocal of the marginal propensity to save? 2. Discuss the concept of investment multiplier and its role in the theory of income and employment. 3. Discuss the concept of multiplier as put forward by Kahn and Keynes. 4. For what analytical purposes are the notions of leakages and lags employed in the theory of income propagation? 5. Define the multiplier. Show the way the multiplier has been used in the Keynesian theory of employment. 6. The higher the marginal propensity to consume, the higher will be the value of the multiplier. Discuss this statement. And 7. Explain the dynamic multiplier. How is it different from Keynes multiplier? With this, we come to the end of chapter 12.